Please start. So we'll now discuss the Baikal GVD project.
Well,
and this presentation will be given by 15 minutes, and please start.
So I will speak about project Baikal GVD. Here you can see we are
microphone.
No, it's microphone is there, but
one. Yes, you see. Detector is situated at south part of the Baikal Lake. So our main task was to construct scale 3D array of photo sensors. Detector have flexible structure allowing to upgrade or rearrange main building blocks, and to have high sensitivity and resolution for neutrino energy, direction, and flavor content. Central physical goal to investigate galactic and extragalactic neutrino point sources in energy range more than TV. Investigate diffuse neutrino flux, energy spectrum, local global anisotropy, flavor content, and so on. Very interesting points. Search for dark matter. It can be done in our detector by indirect way. And search for exotic particles, monopoles, cobalt, and so on. We just measure time and amplitude of signal detecting Cherenkov light from charged particle. It's mainly two way to do that. It's for muons. We have a track event, and as main part, it's detecting cascades. You see, if we suggesting that flavor ratio the same for all flavors, in this case, muon and cascades has ratio 1:3. Phase one Baikal GVD suggesting up to 2020. It's eight classes. It's sub detectors. It's practically detector itself. With one cluster, we can do all registration, all construction, and so on. And one cluster, it's 3D structures of photo multipliers, contains optical modules as elementary unit, and it contains eight strings. Each string 36 optical modules. We suggesting that eight cluster will have effective volume for more than 100 TV, about 0.4 cubic kilometers. It will contain about 2,300 optical modules, and it will situate it at the depths more than 750 meters up to bed. For concerning reconstruction, directional reconstruction for cascades, about 3 degrees, and for muons about quarter or half of degree. Energy resolution for cascades is about 15%. For muons, it's about 40% in logarithm. So how we do that? Here you can see some photos from installation. Usually, we are working on the ice since 20 February up to 10th of April. So when cover allows us to use some machinery to install. Well, what we did at moment. In 2015, we installed Dubna cluster. It was a demonstration cluster. In next year, we extended up to a full scale cluster. We have already 288 optical modules. And last year we installed for one season one cluster. Here you can see number of events versus time, how we take all our statistics. So leave time for detector was 235 days. Full time of working, it was 300, efficiency about 80%. It's not so high for sure, but we did a lot of testing and calibration things. On these detectors, in 2015 and 2016, we already get some neutrino candidates. This is low energy candidates. You see the volume of point, it's charge, and color is time starting from red to blue. Well, and as you see from, let's say, from these graphics, it's you see that's that's practically vertical vertical muon upgoing. So it means the only neutrino can generate these events. Moreover, we find with our rate, let's say, some candidate for extra extraterrestrial neutrino, and we reconstructed its cascade event, and we reconstructed with energy more than 100 TV. If you know for ice cube statistics for high energy events, threshold they are considering as extraterrestrial neutrinos starting from 60 TV. For sure, this is just candidate. It's not not really proved event, just because we have to consider all background from atmospheric muons and so on. With this array, to test and understand how works our cluster, for all elements, statistics, uncertainties, we reconstruct atmospheric muons, downgoing muons. And here you see comparison with Monte Carlo. So comparison is not so rather moderate, I would say. But in fact, we are in progress with that. So last expedition, it was rather challenge expedition, just because we never install one class in one season. So what we are going to do. So we try to install some new part. It's concerning acoustic positioning system. It was successfully tested. Moreover, we install in frame of global neutrino network cooperation. We install some calibration system elements, which was tested successfully. So, and second cluster, which was installed, is a standard full cluster with new, let's say, five LED calibration units. It's much more easy to work with it, just because in, here fully unified electronics and firmware and optical modules. Additionally, was equipped with humidity and orientation sensors. It allows us to define position of optical modules with more accuracy. Finally, this picture how it looks at moment. You see, this is first cluster, second cluster. So here we add new laser system, it's calibration system, which allows us to calibrate both clusters at once. Here you can number versus time and. You see that efficiency rather high, but we are going to improve even this these numbers. Concerning plans for this year, we are going to install additional two clusters in one season. It's for sure it's a challenge much more than previous year. So, but I think we will do that. So, next plans, you see, starting from the expedition this year, we are going to install a couple clusters each year. So, for let's say we are considering only install at moment 14 clusters. Further extension, it will be depends on the situation in time when we will install 14 clusters, and we will see what we get with that. So, but for sure, to install so huge array, we have extended wide infrastructure on the shore. Just because what we had before that, it was practically impossible to let's say even. Even living resources do not allow us to use more people to process installation. In previous year, we set up new data center on the array, new shore lab here. Was installed during this summer. Some preparation was done in Baikalsk in building of toxicological institute for temporary storage. So now we have more or less convenient infrastructure where we can prepare all modules electronic modules on the show if we need that. But for us, it's much important to operate with transportation and define extension of infrastructure. It was done, but getting additional machinery. So we have a lot of plans concerning extension of infrastructure. The only thing I want to say is that there is developed general plan for extension, and at least we are on this sequence. This how I think it will be looks for few nearest year. Concerning obstacle production, which we are responsible for in our group, it's assembly and testing. And last year it was done for about 300 optical modules with production rate about 6 optical modules per day. In this year, we rearrange our facility. You will see this lab. And now it allows to produce and test up to 12 optical modules per day. This is our long-term testing room for optical modules and sections. For sure, we need some additional storage just because for components and ready production. And we are going in this year to install a new facility for long term, which allows us to test full equipped for full string. So this is our collaboration. First 2 points, INR and GINR, it's practically main engines of the collaboration. Here you see Czech Republic and Slovakia comes to collaboration. And here are our main publications for last 3 years. Three people take PhDs. Our group contains about 25 people, and our tasks, what we are responsible for, is assembly, first of all, participation and partially organization, and winter and summer expeditions, data archive processing analysis, access security service, detector calibration, mass processing data, analysis frame software development, simulation, MK production, online software, remote control monitoring system, and development new methods, event and reconstruction. So thank you.
Thank you very much. Questions? Yes, Mr. Stasko.
Thank you. Good presentation. Questions. What is the guarantee time of your photomultiplier in connection with long experiment? Guarantee time of photomultiplier. It seems to me 5,000 hours or not.
5,000 hours? Yeah. You mean for fault or what?
Lifetime.
Good. Resolution will be good for the multiplier.
What is time resolution?
Not. Guarantee time.
Yeah, I understand.
No. Гарантийное время использования.
Yeah, I understand.
For
us, we have tested and we have tested this module since 2010, and up to now we don't see any loss of sensitivity of optical modules. Okay. And up to now, these modules are working.
question. Yeah. Okay. What is the method for checking photomultiplier in line experiment?
No, for sure, we test efficiency. First of all, count
before experiment, we test before experiment.
No. It tests before experiment. It tests in experiment or in situ on time. Practically, we are able to measure efficiency of each module.
What is method?
We measure efficiency. It can be done with muons, atmospheric muons. Just reconstruct, and after that you can calculate and sensitivity, time channel, and amplitude channel.
Yes, please.
Mm-hmm. My congratulations, of course, very impressive presentation of situation and plans, but have you published your observed extraterrestrial event with neutrinos?
So,
have you published it or not?
Partially.
You see, it's already mentioned by neutrino community that we are talking about very interesting events, but no publications. So I think you have very seriously consider this question, because we are losing maybe...
I understand.
Yes.
I understand, yes. Mm-hmm. That's clear, but, all analysis, to present practically, to present and publish this result, it means to prove these results. And up to now, we study background for such kind of events, and we are in progress, and it's not so not so fast task, unfortunately.
No.
Please use the microphone.
Yeah. Vadim.
Yes. My question is to know if you are you included in the network of large detectors detecting gamma rays or neutrinos and so on to have the survey on the planet in case of event. For example, people were looking for some coincidence between the gravitational waves and the neutrinos and so on. Are you a member of this network of alert? To check if
we are prepared exactly in this time we are preparing our own alert system, and of course all databases, all alarms are accessible for us. So I'm not sure that we have this support on official level, but at least all this material is accessible for us.
Want to add?
I continue the question of our director. You can compare the first data from a GVD Baikal detector with, for example, data from Antares.
From Antares? With Antares, with Antares, for sure, but to understand analysis, analysis for namely Antares takes about 5 years. From a first publication concerns concerns point like a survey, much more easy to compare with IceCube, where they have high energy cascades events detection and estimate flux. We can estimate on a couple of events what we have already. In this point we can compare, and these results are comparable. But once more, we have to prove this that we have, namely, extraterrestrial events. That's all.
Fabrice, you want to comment?
No, I just wanted to ask, how many events do you expect if you take the flux from IceCube and Amanda? How many events do you expect with the present setup?
From IceCube.
Yes, from the flux measured by IceCube.
Did you detect any high energy events? I mean, more than 100 TeV. It was done only by IceCube. With IceCube, we have to detect due to flux from IceCube, we have to detect one event per year with one cluster. If you have 10 clusters, it means 10 events per year. You can practically summarize it.
Okay. I don't see other questions, so thank you very much again. And we continue now with the projects conducted in the Kalin Nuclear Power Plant. And the first one will be Dance Project, which will be presented 15 minutes also. And yeah. Yes, please.
Thank you.
Yegorov.
So the DANCE project is devoted to the development and creation of the detector of reactor antineutrinos. In order to perform the neutrino monitoring of the industrial reactor is the first purpose, and the second is to try to search for short-range neutrino oscillations to so-called sterile state. So normally to detect the neutrino, one needs at least 1 ton of liquid scintillator or more. But liquid scintillator is a bad liquid, which is flammable, explosive, and, well, dangerous. So inside the reactor building, it's persona non grata. So instead, we use polystyrene-based plastic scintillator, which is highly segmented. And the total sensitive volume is 1 cubic meter. It's 1.1 ton of polystyrene. And it consists of 2,500 independent scintillator strips, 1 meter long. And they are combined to 50 modules. And each module has its own PMT, and each strip has, in addition, its own small photosensor. So the detector is placed here in this room, just below the commercial 3 gigawatt power reactor. So such a position provides huge neutrino flux. It's the first, and the second, which is even maybe more important, is that we are shielded here from the cosmic neutrons with the big overburden, especially with the hydrogen-containing materials. It's water. Here is a big cooling pond for the old reactor fuel and the reactor itself. So the neutron background here, the neutrons from the cosmic rays, is almost zero. So here you can see the process of mounting of these strips in this room under the reactor. And everything then is shielded with the composite shielding against the thermal neutrons and gamma rays and cosmic muons. And all this detector with the shielding is mounted on the movable platform. And within 4 minutes, pressing the button, you can move it by 2 meters so that the distance between the center of the reactor core and the center of the detector could be varied within this range. And we move it 3 times per week. So 1 week cycle of measurement consists of these days in up position, middle position, and down position. And this moving helps us to avoid many systematic errors. So the detector is equipped with several monitors of gamma and neutron background, which are installed inside and outside the shielding of the detector. Calibration system allows to introduce inside the detector body to introduce these tiny radioactive sources of gamma rays and neutrons. And of course, we use for energy calibration, for permanent energy calibration, we use the cosmic muons. So here you can see the tracks of these muons inside the detector. And finally, it looks like that. And here you can see the part of the crew on board, and all the technical details are published in the Journal of Instrumentation and in archive here. So now let's come to some preliminary results. Here we demonstrate the time distribution of signals, time between prompt and delayed signal. Prompt, it means the detection of positron, and delayed, it means the detection of the neutron. And here, this exponential part corresponds to the moderation of neutron with this typical time. And this exponential part corresponds to the capture of the neutron by gadolinium nuclei. And the more or less flat basement, it's random coincidences. Here it's up position, middle and bottom, and this corresponds to the period when the reactor is off, so it's our background. And the data analyzed up to now, before coming to the energy spectra, which are more important, I would like to remind you that in other competitive experiments, Dyer Bay, Double Shaw, and NEOS, people see some strange phenomenon here at around 5 MeV region. It looks like a bump which is not predicted by the theoretical models. So I must say that in our case, we do not see any bump here. This data has a rather big statistics. It's about 750,000 IBD events measured during these days. And here it's the background which we have. And this bump even is not visible even in the log scale. Normally, logarithm scale is very sensitive to see some irregularities in the spectrum. So here you could see nothing. So probably this bump is some artifact caused maybe by liquid property of liquid scintillator used in all the other experiments, because we use plastic, another type of detector, maybe another effects. I do not know. One of the of our aims was to try to see the dependence between the reactor fuel composition and the neutrino count rate. And here you can see it. This is the blue line is the reactor power during the days. Here it's 2016-2017. Here the reactor was stopped for fuel recharge. And before the fuel recharge, you see that count rate of neutrino is lower than normal. And just after the recharge, it's higher than normal. So it means that it works. So that the flux of the neutrino as well as the neutrino spectrum reflects the fuel composition in the reactor. Now let's come to the neutrino oscillations. Here at this plot, I show the, let's say, region of interest. It's evaluation of published in one of the most recent theoretical works. So this star corresponds to the best fit of our French colleagues who claimed the existence of so-called reactor anomaly. So this shadow part, it's the most interesting area in this plot where we try to, everybody tries to find these oscillations. And of course, the other experiments do this work as well. For instance, Daya Bay excluded this region at the 90% confidence level, and the Korean experiment NEOS excludes this white region at 99% confidence level, and this star corresponds to their best fit, so probably maybe the this oscillation exists. And now let's come to our results. Our results are shown here. So up to now we could exclude at the 99% confidence level all this region, and probably we see some oscillation with these parameters. And I just show you to compare with the NEOS. So you see their best fit is very close to our best fit. So maybe we see something, but please take in mind that it's very preliminary result, and I show it just to cheer up our colleagues and to excite a little bit our competitors. So do not quote, please, to these figures, because even I got this this picture in the analysis, but personally, I do not believe 100% to the reality of these results, because it's not checked yet, and it was not discussed with our colleagues from Moscow, because we do the analysis together with our Moscow colleagues from ITEP. So, the summary of what was done. DANCE has been started in operation more than 1 year ago, and there was many technical problems, as usual, at the starting stage. But we have managed to overcome all these problems, and regular data taking started since October 2016. But data really available for analysis comes since January of the previous year. So we have 1 year of data taking now. The DANCE data taking and analysis is in progress, and we see that neutrino flux and energy spectrum really reflects the reactor fuel composition, and we do not see any excess in the 5 MeV region, and we can exclude the big area of the predicted parameters of the oscillations, and now we expect some consensual GNR and ITEP result of analysis, and we hope that the official result, any preliminary but official result, will appear before this summer. Now about perspectives for the next period. Well, as soon as our setup is in operation, we should continue this data taking, of course. And doing that, we would like first to measure neutrino spectrum as a function of distance in order to take more data about the neutrino oscillation. And we would like to see the neutrino spectrum as a function of campaign time in order to provide the reliable data for neutrino reactor monitoring. With this, everything is clear, and I will not say much about that. Then, in order to reach more, to extend the sensitivity area, we need to cover wider distance range. For instance, to come to the higher mass difference, we need to try to check the shorter distance to the reactor, and vice versa, to check the lower mass difference, we need to check the longer distance. So in our plans, we want to combine our efforts with the NEOS and Neutrino 4 experiments, and to build a new setup which will be able to check wider distance range at the research reactor SM3 in Ulyanovsk region in Dimitrovgrad. Also, we do not stop our research and development. We continue, and we taking into account our experiments and all our mistakes, which were done, of course. So we now started to create two smaller detectors with improved parameters, together with the institute from Prague. Ivan Stekel is participating in this. So a little bit more details about these two points. First, the NEOS experiment, which was done in Korea, is stopped now, it's finished now. They did what they could. Their detector was installed at 24 meters from the core and was not movable, so they could measure just the spectrum shape and compare it with the theoretical prediction. But we know that there are some problems with the theoretical spectrum shape, as I showed, this bump. So they proposed to bring their equipment and liquid scintillator to Russia and to try to do something else. So one of the ideas was proposed by Serebrov, the leader of Neutrino 4 experiment, that in the same building in Dimitrovgrad to produce a similar detector which is movable and to use experiments of GNR and experience and liquid scintillator of NEOS to do this new setup. We agreed to participate in this, let's say, triple entente, but our contribution will be rather limited, so we can produce muon veta and make some international mediation of this activity, but no more. We have no resources and especially manpower. Yeah. And about the smaller detectors, we started R&D. We call these detectors S-cube. It will be about 64 liters only. And we expect a much better energy resolution. And nevertheless, we expect that such a detector placed at the similar position as our DANS will detect about 300 neutrinos per day, which is rather high. And one of these detectors will be done here in Dubna and placed at the Kalinin nuclear power plant. And the second one will be done in Prague and probably installed under one of these reactors at Temelin nuclear power plant, which have just the same project and just the similar room. So, and I hope that this thriller will be continued due to your decisions, and thank you very much. That's all.
Thank you. Yes, of course. Please start.
What means NEONS? It is in Ghent in Belgium. Yes. Setup. NEON.
NEOS?
Да.
NEOS. No, it's in Korea.
In Korea?
South Korea, yes.
But I remember that in Ghent also setup for the same aims.
There are
many
projects, but most of them are at the stage of blah, blah, blah at the moment.
Okay.
Sorry, just to understand, so this triple entente, this is located in Korea. Yes.
No.
Where is this located?
This is the unique reactor SM3, which is located in Dimitrovgrad, Ulyanovsk region, 1,000 kilometers from here to the southeast.
Please.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Good presentation. Thank you. I asked Professor Yegorov by email, but anyway, I asked again. The first goal of this project was estimation on vapor plutonium and uranium. Who asked this data? Maybe a Kalinin state or...
No. In fact, the staff of the nuclear power plant, they need nothing from us. Okay. It's a power, it's a plant. It's not institute. It's not research. So this is just information for mankind, for everybody. For instance...
So now we have other main goal, yes? Estimation of installation, yes?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, please.
What is the uniformity of the background in dance? I mean, we know that in nuclear power plant you have a lot of pipes and with some radioactive oxygen, for example, and it means that your background is not only coming from the core, but it can come from the pipe and so on.
Yes.
So how do you control that your detector has a uniform, or if it is not uniform, how you correct that?
Yes. Normally, the background, the gamma background in the room is only, let's say, twice higher than here. And the main source of gamma background is potassium-40, because there is a lot of concrete around. Is the first. Then the neutron background, of course, is higher. But these are thermal neutrons which enter to this room through the special tubes. You see, it's not the free room, especially for us. This room is used by the personnel of the station to check the neutron flux around the reactor. So they have 27 tubes which are parallel to the reactor, to the cauldron body, and they use these tubes just to move some chambers. I do not know for the details, but these tubes give to us some flux of not cold but thermal or epithermal neutrons, and we know the space distribution of this background. Of course, we measured it several times with these detectors. These detectors. In all the room, and we monitor the neutron background permanently, all the time, inside the shielding and outside the shielding. And when we move the detector, of course, the background is a little bit changed, but outside, not inside. Inside, it's more or less constant. And we try to... We could do nothing with that. What we could do is to take it into account in the proper way.
May have one. You mentioned that the final result will be hopefully available in the middle of this year from the dance analysis. Could you say in few words what's missing today in the analysis? To what you will improve?
Mm-hmm. You see, the analysis is done in parallel with two groups. One our group in GNR, another group is in Moscow in ITEP. From time to time we meet each other and discuss and exchange the results and data, etc. So the previous meeting was in end of November. So before discussion with them, we cannot publish these results. It's normal for the collaboration.
Maybe not publish, say. Your result, your group result.
The result, what I showed, is not final because it depends very much on the energy range which I take for the analysis. From 1 to 6 MeV or from 1.5 to 7 MeV or whatever. So the result changes a little bit. So we have to manage it somehow. And the second point is that we do not know exactly the behavior of the background. Background in our case is not high. It's about from 10 to 20%, but it's not negligible. And we need to study this background in more details, what we are doing now in parallel with the measurements.
Thank you. I think we have to go on. Thank you very much for the presentation again. The next is the project Gamma 3, also located close to the reactor.
Hello, so I will speak about investigation on neutrino properties with a low background germanium spectrometer Gamma 3. So this project is performed mostly by physicists from GNR, from Laboratory of Nuclear Problem, with some collaboration with ITAP and MIFI. So maybe in this auditorium it's not necessary to speak about motivation. I'm just telling very briefly that neutrino physics, measurement of neutrino properties, is a very important task for the particle physics, astrophysics, cosmology, and neutrino is being the most one of the most abundant particle in the universe, but detection is very challenging due to a very weak interaction with matter. That's why it's difficult to study these properties of this particle. And Gamma 3 project is a continuation of predecessor's project Gamma 2 and NewGen. So it's aimed to investigate mostly these neutrino properties. So first, it's magnetic moment of neutrino, and second is coherent elastic neutrino scattering, so which would be a very nice tool to investigate sterile neutrino and non-standard neutrino interaction on reactor monitoring. So in a minimally extended standard model, so value for the magnetic moment neutrino is very low, and it cannot be tested in the present experiment. However, different extension for the standard model predict much higher value. For example, for Majorana neutrinos, value can be 10 to the minus 11, 10 to the minus 12 magneton Bohr. And for Dirac neutrinos, these values are usually smaller. So that's why if we would absorb magnetic moment of neutrino, it would be a clear signature of the Majorana nature of neutrino. And for sure, such observation would be a new physics beyond the standard model. So cross-section for electromagnetic interaction of neutrino and weak interaction are shown here. So as you can see from this plot, so it's very important to have the detector with a low threshold, and that's why it will be more sensitive to magnetic moment of neutrino. So for coherent neutrino scattering, so this is a process allowed in standard model, but for reactor neutrino it was never observed. And this process is very important for astrophysics, cosmology, for dark matter experiment. It's very important background, irreductible. And this can be a good tool for the search of a non-standard neutrino interaction, can be used for sterile neutrino search, reactor monitoring as well. So here is a cross-section for such process, and this process actually applied only for the low energy neutrino. The energy should be below 50 MeV. This cross-section is proportional to the number of neutrons in the target, and it's several orders of magnitude higher than the usual cross-section of neutrino. But still, it's very tricky to find these processes because the energy of recoils are very low, so it's less usually than few keV. Moreover, very often that only a small part of the energy can be detected. For germanium, it's 20%. Recently, a coherent experiment claims that they found this scattering. However, that was done with accelerator, with the neutrinos with rather high energy. That's why we would like to test this result and check it. signal from the neutrino. You can see here how it looks like. Usually, so neutrino scattering give us a continuous spectra at very low energy, and it's very hard to distinguish from the noise or background. And it's for sure it's also small number of events. So to detect this process, we need first, it's a powerful source of neutrino. So detector with a very low threshold, good resolution, and low background, we have to clear separate background events from the noise and have a good efficiency and big detector mass. Our experiment is located at Kalinin nuclear power plant. It's about 300 kilometers from Dubna. Here you can see on a map. And experimental hall is located just under the reactor in a very close vicinity to the reactor core. It's only 10 meters from the powerful 3 gigawatt reactor. So that's why give us possibility to operate enormous neutrino flux of more than 5×10^13 neutrino per second per centimeter square. This is highest available flux in the field. And moreover, experimental setup located under the reactor, it's the same room, but on the other reactor core as dance. So this give us additionally good shielding against cosmic radiation. This practically can completely kill hadronic component of the cosmic radiation. So, and within the gamma project, we have a very long and successful history collaboration with Kalinin nuclear power plant. So within the Gamma 1 project, it was 1.5 kilogram germanium detector with such threshold. It was located on the 14 meter from the reactor core. And here is the background level. It was obtained the best limit current for the magnetic moment of neutrino. After that, it was intention to improve this limit by using 2 3 kilogram high purity detector. It was bought by ITAP. They should have such kind of threshold, and experiment should be located much closer to the reactor core, only 10 meters in that room that I showed you before, and that give much higher flux that was here in this experiment. Unfortunately, after the production of this detector, it was found that the background, internal background of this detector is much higher than it was expected. And that's why, but also in a parallel of this, in GNR, we were performing this experiment, NewGen, that was mostly focused on the detection of the coherent neutrino scattering. So it separated with much smaller detector with such kind of threshold, much better resolution in the same room. So I will speak mostly about this experiment, but also about Gamma 3. So it's currently this experiment in preparation that will operate 4 detector with such kind of mass and have much smaller threshold. Also, I would like to note that the room, current room, has much better background that was before for Gamma 1. So that's why we're expecting to decrease it. So here you can see photos of the detector that used for NewGen experiment. So they were developed in collaboration with BSI, and we tested a lot of sources and found finally what was the reason of the higher background in Gamma 2. And taking into account this information, the nuclear stat has been built. So you can see scheme of the cryostat and some photos. So detector resolution has it's about 170 eV, full width at half maximum. We were able to reach such kind of threshold. If we would keep such parameters with such background level, we expect that we will get about 10 events from coherent neutrino scattering per day. To distinguish signal from the noise, we will use several techniques. First of all, we check data taken when the reactor is off and on, and moreover, spectrometer is put on the lifting mechanism. So it will allow to move detector back and forth to the reactor core, changing the distance, and this allow significantly to suppress systematic uncertainties of the background determination. So it's the same lifting mechanism like in Dan's experiment. So radio purity and performance of detector was tested in deep underground laboratory LSM. Here you can see low energy spectrum with some such line cosmogenic from germanium. And it was found that background index was about 1 counts per day per kilogram per keV. So in principle, this such background we would have under reactor, that would be enough. After that, detector was moved to GNR, and we installed new electronics, new acquisition system, and currently we are taking data with the real-time ADC, using different amplifying, setting the different shape times. It's allowed to suppress the noise significantly, because for the real events, energy reconstruction should be independent from the shaping time, but for high-frequency noise or low-frequency noise, it's different. And that's why this allows to suppress noise events quite a lot. So we test with pulse generator detector efficiency, and you can see. So at the energy 350 V, we still have about 70% efficiency of detecting such events. So in principle, we think that would be enough. After that, we move our spectrometer to reactor side and start building shielding. So scheme of passive shielding is following. So first, we have 10 centimeters of copper. After that, we have borated polyethylene, and after that, lead, and another borated polyethylene, and muon vitter. So you can see another photo from the installation. To decrease radon background, internal parts are vented with nitrogen. Here is lead. Unfortunately, first measurement with new gen spectrometer shows that the copper shielding that we use for shielding that was from Gamma 1 has a contamination of cesium-137, much higher than we expected. And we performed several iterations of cleaning, but they were not enough efficient. Therefore, we bought a new ultra-clean copper. It was tested already at LSM, and we plan it to swap it instead of current one and decrease the background. Also, here you can see scintillation plate that currently are here, so probably you will see them. And they are produced and currently tested on GNR. So our plans for new gen are following. So we plan to install new shielding within muon vitter. After that, check background level we have for the final configuration. In case if we have higher background, we can use, in principle, sodium iodine detectors. So we plan to detect coherent neutron scattering with new gen, and after that, to perform a great upgrade of experimental setup using new produced Canberra detector. They should have much better resolution and threshold. So actually, it was possible to do because the last year's technologies for detector production went on a new level. So, and for example, Canberra currently can produce detector with the mass of about 1 kilogram that have resolution of better than 80 eV. So it's much better than our detector has, and this is a very attractive option for us, for our studies. So, we plan to get such first detector in the beginning of 2018. We plan to do this test of this detector in March at LSM laboratory. So, this is dimension of the first detector. So, it should have mass 1 kilogram this is expected resolution. So if the test would be successful, we would move it here and change it instead of new gen spectrometer and start measurement with this device. So in total, we plan to use 4 detectors with a total mass of 5.5 kilograms. This measurement should start maybe end of 2018, beginning 2019. So here is a planned sensitivity for magnetic moment after several years of measurement. And here is the expected number of events from coherent scattering. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions? Yes, Mr. Stoshko.
Thank you. But is the same room, yes, for dance project?
No, it's the same room, but on the other reactor. There is a several reactors. It's Kalinin nuclear power plant, so they work at the reactor number 4.
Okay, we are working
on the number.
Thank you. Okay. And other project, other questions. Did you check radio impurity with cable, with preamplifier?
So, I mean, for new gen project, we tested test spectrometer at LSM laboratory that has much deeper. Everything it was
everything.
There. So, and here you can see the background. Here is the background.
Thank you.
So,
thank
in
you.
Principle, all components were tested before as well. So,
Fabrice?
I have a question about the contamination of the copper.
No.
You use it for Gamma 1. It was already contaminated, or it has been contaminated later? It means it is a part of your background in Gamma 1?
I don't know exactly, but in principle, you know, cesium is a very active metal, and it can move on a surface, and that's why. Also, we don't know. Probably, only some parts are contaminated. It's very hard to find which part is contaminated and which not. So we try to do to clean. Maybe not everything is contaminated.
Yeah, but if the contamination happens during the measurement or after the measurement, you need to have some procedure to avoid to have contamination in the future for your experiment.
You mean contamination of the detector of just copper? Now we just bought a new copper, much cleaner, and we will put it instead of that one. Because it's very hard to find where is exactly contamination of which brick, and it would be
yes, but it is an important point for your experiment to know if it is a contamination coming from outside or if it was a contamination at the beginning.
From Gamma 1, you mean?
Yeah.
Or in the Gamma 1, so. But you know, the shielding configuration a bit different for the Gamma 1 and now. So we do not place it exactly in exactly position that it was before. So we cannot compare it directly, I think.
The last one.
Yeah.
Please.
About the sensitivity, you are speaking about several years of data. What it means? It is 2 years or 10 years, or why you are not more precise?
It was just scaled from the results obtained in Gamma 1, so it was taken for 4 years. So we just take into account the difference in energy threshold, in mass, and
Okay, thank you. So we'll go, thank you again, and we'll go to the last presentation in this session, which is related to the Edelweiss LT project.
Yes.
And
so
first,
I will answer Fabrice's question about this copper. So we don't see changes in contamination during the measurements, so it's definitely come before. So this copper was stored somewhere on the reactor, so we think that during this this time when it was in this place, there is some xenon probably come and then it decay in this cesium. And also this not so huge contamination, it's like one event per 1 hour. So it's not something really huge, but it's not acceptable for our aims. So anyway, in my presentation, I will first give you update about Edelweiss scientific program for detection of dark matter, and then I will give summary about all scientific program in the term non-accelerator neutrino physics and astrophysics. So first about Edelweiss LT. So why it is LT? So Edelweiss is a project for direct search of WIMS. And LT stay because now we are targeting low mass WIMS. So LT is stay for low mass, for light. So Edelweiss scientific program is conducting international collaboration, which include France, UK, Germany, and GNR. So what we are looking for, we are looking in collision between WIMPs from galactic halo of our galaxy and with germanium nuclei in our detectors. And if this collision happens, simple kinematics will produce some recoil nuclei and this of germanium, and this recoil nuclei we are trying to detect. So experimental challenges that we are facing off is, of course, event rate is ultra small, definitely below of one event per 100 kilograms of detectors per day. And energy deposition is tiny because we are looking at this collision between quite heavy particles with also heavy nuclei. So main task for experiments in this case are the detector mass has to be higher. We need long and stable data taking, and of course we need performant detectors. This means that they supposed to be with low energy threshold, a good energy resolution. And of course we need a minimal background to see something. So now we are increasing gain of interest to search of low mass WIMPs, and this we actually why we are doing this Edelweiss LT phase. So why this is this interest arising? This is because, of course, we have to say that there is no evidence yet for SUSY at LHC. So maybe there is something else. So we have to look not only in prediction of SUSY, but also some other possibilities. So not this usual prediction of the mass of dark matter particles, but maybe higher masses or low masses. Of course, there is also some new theoretical approaches that favoring lighter candidates. Also, what is important that there is no WIMP signals detected so far in the expected region. On the right, I show you this recent result of experimental result received with liquid noble gas detectors. And you can see that already they reached the limit 10^-46 centimeters square for cross-section of WIMP nucleon interaction. And this experiment, Panda X2, they already accumulated 54,000 kilogram days of data. So this means that in 54 tons of materials, there is no one single interaction of dark matter particles with this detector. This is already quite suspicious, and probably we also have to look around of this region, maybe to low mass or higher mass, on to search for something else as candidate for dark matter. So also this picture here shown that reality of search for dark matter in these days, that liquid noble gas detectors, they have large mass, heavy elements, so higher cross-section, and they can do it to self-shielding, have very low background. So above 10 GeV mass for WIMPs, they are not beatable, so they are definitely germanium or cryogenic detectors, they are not, they cannot compete in this region. So, but this detector, they have a much better, this cryogenic detector, they have much better energy resolution and much lower energy threshold. So they definitely can be applied to search light candidates for dark matter. So anyway, first I would like to say about current stage of the Edelweiss that we call Edelweiss 3. So we use high purity germanium detector bolometers. about 20 kilogram of detector that shows on some photos here on the right. And this bolometer, they run under very low temperature, 20 millikelvins, and we are measuring two signals, heat and ionization. And this allow us to actively discriminate of nuclear recoils from other backgrounds. So there is also this very complicated scheme of electrodes on surfaces. This allow us to discriminate surface events. So these detectors were originally, all experimental, originally designed to search WIMPs with mass about 20 GeV, but now due to excellent energy, low energy threshold and excellent energy resolution, we are able also to investigate a low mass region below 5 GeV. The experiment is located in LSM underground laboratory in French Alps. So results that we have so far, so what is important that positive result, we don't see any WIMPs so far, and but what is important that positive results reported by some other experiment were directly verified. Yeah, I forgot to say that, of course, interest to low mass WIMPs is also arise because controversial results in the region about 10, mass of 10 GeV from some other experiments. You can see this field area on this picture. They are result of different experiments reported some signal that can be interpreted as positive result of interaction of WIMP with their detector materials. So the current Edelweiss 3 sensitivity that is published, but we have already three times more statistics. This completely covered region of all these positive results, and what is especially important, that completely covered region of positive cogent result. It's here, this result. And this result received on the same nuclei of germanium, so interpretation is straightforward. So for Edelweiss LT, of course, we need to go low, to really low energies, and to be competitive with our experiment, we have to find some other possibilities for our experiment. And one of this trick that we will use is so-called Neganov-Luk effect for internal amplification of the heat signal. So because we are measuring both ionization and heat, so when interaction inside of the detector happen, so and when we collect these charges of course produce, when we collect it, we produce work inside of the detector, so we produce more heat. So in this case, we amplify heat signal, so we to original heat produced by recoil, we also add heat produced by collection of ionization signal on our electrodes. So more voltage we apply, more gain we have. So this demonstrated in our R&D. So you see this calibration with barium 133 radioactive source, and you see how this gamma line is shifted in our spectrum from 8 volt voltage on the detector to 100 volt on the detector. And this is energy resolution. And for 100 volts, we have energy resolution below 100 electron volt. So this is perfect to search to investigate this low mass region. Of course, some other improvement will be also made. So we will move to different first cascade, amplification cascade in detector. And this will also require some changes in the detector, like increased spacing between these electrodes that allow us discrimination of surface events. So what results we expect? So first, with detector that we already have in hands, we will move to this 10⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻⁻ and already in the first year of the project. And then we have to find a source of so-called heat-only events. That is our main background in these days. So this is events when we have only heat signal and no charge. So the source of these events is not clearly known so far. We are doing a lot of R&D to find the source of it. Anyway, so once this is found, we can move also to much lower level and eventually even reach so-called neutrino flora. So this is, at some point, we will see a signal
Of coherent scattering of solar neutrinos on germanium. So this is this region field region here. So what is our schedule for this Edelweiss LT project? We will search. We are searching for this heat only events, for source heat only events. In the same time, with available detectors, we will start to perform a first phase of Edelweiss LT and receive this result. And in the same time, at once this heat only events are found, we will build more detectors and to move forward to investigate this region. So probably I cannot speak more because we have more about Edelweiss because we don't have a lack of time. We have lack of time, so I will move to summary on the theme: non-accelerator neutrino physics and astrophysics. This is leading by Viktor Brodanin, Alois Kovalik, and me, and it includes all these six projects that you had today. So this theme is conducted by Gelepo Laboratory of Nuclear Problems, and main base for the theme is Department of Nuclear Spectroscopy and Radiochemistry. And so this department has more than 50 years experience in high precision nuclear spectroscopy, more than 30 years experience of studying of different ray processes and underground environments, more than 15 years studies of neutrinos from nuclear reactors. So as you probably noticed from today's presentation, we have knowledge, personnel, and capabilities to create world-class facilities, conduct measurements with them, and obtain world-leading results. So additionally to these six projects, we have a laboratory for production and repair of semiconductor detectors, laboratory for creation and production of scintillator materials. We have possibility to do gamma, beta, alpha, neutron measurements, low-level radon measurements, a group of mass separators. We can also have radiochemistry sector, and this is help us to prepare unique radioactive sources for different calibration tasks that we need in our researches. They also can do purification of materials and a lot of other help to our research. Of course, we also have mechanical workshops and glass-blown workshop and a group of computer support. The main the sites where we are doing our research, of course, underground laboratories, sites on at Kalinin nuclear power plant, and of course, we have now one of the main projects at Lake Baikal. The main power to target all the scientific things is scientific staff and engineer, equal to about 50 full-time equivalent. Of course, we also have some undergraduate students and some other staff to help us. So in general, what we are doing, we are studying rare process by method of nuclear physics because our department is Department of Nuclear Spectroscopy and Radiochemistry. So facilities you will see today during the visit, so I will not stop on this. I will say a little bit more about motivation. So neutrino physics and astrophysics, how they connected and how it's connected to nuclear physics that we apply to study it. So of course, motivation to study is evident because neutrinos that are one of the most often particles that present in universe. By number, this is only a little bit less than number of photons. And for dark matter particles, this is on the third place, bronze place, for dark matter local density. And of course, by mass, dark matter particles are very huge number of mass and much higher than normal mass that we have studied so far. So a good example how nuclear physics connected with particle physics and with astrophysics is a study of neutrinoless double beta decay. That is clearly a nuclear physics process, and it's studied by nuclear physics method, but it has impact on both particle physics and on astrophysics. For particle physics, of course, if we will observe this double beta decay, this will mean that lepton number is not conserved. Neutrino have Majorana masses. This is so mechanism of mass is different from quark and charged lepton, and neutrinos are their own antiparticles. So, of course, observation of this zero new double beta decay will also probably some say that it will probably mean that CISO model is origin of neutrino masses, and if this beautiful theory is works, then of course it will explain also leptogenesis and why we have baryon antibaryon asymmetry of the universe. So this is how all this nuclear physics, particle physics, and astrophysics are connected. So this is why we are targeting study of double beta decay by different approaches, from simple colorimetric measurements to tracker colorimetric measurements and super NEMO. So all these researches are very important that we are using underground laboratories, and we have to use underground laboratories. And very important laboratories for us is modern underground laboratory. This laboratory has especially what is important about it is that it's one of the deepest laboratory available. It has a simple horizontal access, so it's very easy to bring any equipment inside. And because we are running many experiments, we have these agreements about joint underground laboratory in Europe between GNR and this laboratory. This already was signed first time for 12 years ago, and we renovated each 4 years. So what is important is that our participation in all these, let's say, experiments that searching ultra-rare processor provide solid base for home neutrino experiments, for experiments at Kalinin nuclear power plants, gamma and dance, and for Baikal experiments. So for neutrino experiment at Kalinin NPP, this is actually also answer your question about where it's located. This is unit number 4, and this is unit number 3. This is site for gamma 3 experiment, and this is site for dance experiment. So it has one thing that is important, that is we have so high neutrino flux. But then there is another very important thing that maybe my colleagues, they didn't really put strong, doesn't say a lot about this, but I would like to mention it. So we have this vertical lifting of both detectors. For gamma and for dance, we have vertical lifting. Well, actually, it was proposed by these two men. So one just gave the talk, and second is head of our department. And why is this important? When we are probably facing, maybe we are facing like such a delicate thing, like discovery of sterile neutrinos. So probably this, how reliable your result is, will be very strongly depends how you distinguish your background. And this lifting mechanism will allow you to show that really you understand your background and your changes also the number of neutrinos coming to your detector. So in this case, you have additional plus to demonstrate that your result is reliable. So now, of course, we have, I will show you this picture from Christian Spiering. This is number of neutrino from different sources. And of course, for our site, we have highest available neutrino flux for all comparable other experiments. Even for 50 megacurie radioactive source at 5 meters, we still have high flux. But of course, with Baikal experiment that we also perform, we also target not only highest neutrino flux, we also target the highest neutrino energy. So I will not stop on this because we don't have time. We have a presentation about this. So in conclusion, I think we have a comprehensive scientific program reflecting the name of the theme, non-accelerator neutrino physics and astrophysics. We are with participation in world-leading experiment. Try to bring modern know-how for home experiments. And result of our works, of course, we are doing fundamental physics, so results of our works are publications. So on average, we have 25 publications per year. Some in of this publication, we are proud of that they are in Nature. So what my final words, that we would like to ask the Program Advisor Committee to support our research conducted in frame of the TEM and to support continuation of all individual projects by Baikal, DANCE, Edelweiss LT, GERDA, GAMMA2, and SuperNEMO for period of next 3 years, a Baikal project for 5 years, because it will be clear continue more than for 3 years. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, and I propose that we'll take only some questions on the Edelweiss topic, and then we can continue the discussion on all topics during the visit. Of course, we'll have more time even during the visit to ask any questions. Okay, yes, please, Edelweiss, questions. Everything was clear? Yes, please.
Well, again, I have to say it is a very superb experiment. It has made great progress in the last years, and it's very promising in dark matter search with a big discovery potential. So it's quite clear that this, as the others, should continue with high priority. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Fabrice, you have a comment?
If you allow me just a comment, I would like to underline the role of this group in the LSM activity. And it's very profitable for a modern underground laboratory to have the expertise and to have the know-how of this group. And this is essential for the dynamic of the LSM. And we have two of the experiments, Edelweiss and Supernemo at LSM. And for sure, I think without the participation of GNR to this experiment and also to other activity of the lab, we will not have the same story at LSM. And I thank GNR for that.
I think it's a very nice comment to conclude the session as well. Thank you very much. Thank you to all speakers. And the committee members will have now the excursion to the Gelepov lab, a short one. Because we need a little bit of time for lunch, and we'll continue as it's foreseen the program at 3. We'll do everything to come back and start the session at 3 p.m.